Hey everyone, this is Chris and Sandy Benton with our very first Enduring the Storm podcast. As most of you know, we run the Chris and Sandy Show, but this is kind of an extension of our show. Our show is not necessarily a spiritual show, and we thought, what can we do for God? So we thought about, you know what? We're writing a book called Enduring the Storm, Finding Faith and Perseverance, and we thought, you know what? Why not do a podcast around that and bring people on the show to where they found strength through faith and perseverance in the middle of their storm? And that's where this comes in. Our very first, and we're really excited who we have on the show.
Yeah.
We have Becky Powell on the show, and I've read parts of her story. And to be the first guest, really excited. I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, I have basic little questions there, but I usually let God guide on stuff like this. We just see where it goes. I don't know where it's going to go, but I know she can talk. And all that. And that's really what it's her story and all that. And she's been through a heck of a lot. And we're excited to see where this goes. So, Becky, how are you today?
Great. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be your first guest. And I understand the storm.
Yeah. You know, that's the big thing about this episode is, is the storm itself. Because, as I told you the other day, I've been through 19 years of addictions myself. And Sandy went through the first 5 years of our marriage really bad because of my addiction. So we understand the storm too, because she had no idea if God was ever going to heal my heart. She didn't know. I mean, we went year after year after year not knowing what was going to happen. So, and we love hearing stories like that, that are like ours, where, you know what, you just had to have faith.
Yeah, there was no way to get through it at all without faith, for sure, for me.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I could have handled, again, I've read parts of your story, and I know some people probably don't know it, and they'll get to know it in a little bit, but I've read parts of the story, and I'm like, I don't know if I could have handled that.
It was a lot.
Yes.
So as we get started here, tell everybody a little bit of your backstory before the storm, because, I think that's key to what you went through, because I'm sure as you look back now, you probably see signs now. It's like they say 2020, hindsight is 2020. So kind of tell us the story of things that led up before the storm happened, how y'all met and all that.
Well, what's really interesting is looking back, there were no signs, no clues. I don't think I could have known. I mean, for me, I think some of the people involved looking back thought some things were up, but we married when I was 24. We met in Dallas at a restaurant and got married in 1990 and had three kids, busy life. I've always had a relationship with God. But, through the years, it's strengthened through different trials in your life. It just gets stronger, which I think that was all God training me to rely on Him. There's a story in there where I'm cleaning out the house and going through our childhood books. And I come across a picture of Mark had saved from when he was little. That just the serene Jesus that you expect to see when you get in heaven. I call it my decoupage Jesus because it's on the little piece of wood that you shellac. And then I come across mine that I had saved, and the fact that we had both saved them, and I found them just a couple months after this happened. But mine was Jesus in the temple turning over the money changers, which is a huge part of where the story was, money. So, that was just another God saying, I am here and I prepared you for this when you were a little girl. Anyway, so we met. We had a very, very busy life, three kids, and very active in the community, volunteering, school, and charities in town. So, I mean, it was kind of that fairy tale. Everything appeared to be perfect life.
And you know, a lot of times when you talk to people, you know, you're always like, you know, especially when people that we know that divorce, we're always like, how did that happen? Now, granted, there are some people where we'll meet somebody, you know, like I remember one of our small groups that we used to be part of years ago. That's why I can talk about this, because that was back then.
Oh, yeah. Back then.
And I remember, because of course you don't want to bring up small group stuff on that. I remember telling Sandy, I felt like something's not right with the marriage of the people running it. Great people.
Oh, yes.
But
very
nice. But you could sense something. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was a few years in, and all of a sudden we were like, you know, all the heck broke loose, as they say. And there's been a lot of times where like that, where we meet people and I can sense something. And I'll be honest, I hate that, because I think, okay, I'm probably wrong. And then I end up being right. And it's like, okay, please God, take that away from me. Because I don't want to know that. I would rather see them, they got this happy-go-lucky mirror. I would rather see that side of it.
Right.
So, how long were y'all married before all this went down?
23 years.
Wow.
Oh, that's
23 years.
So we just crossed 18, so some could still be. Now, when we go into the story, was this already happening by the 18-year mark, or was it something that just happened overnight?
No, it had started happening probably about 2 years before.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Some a little bit before, but really just about 2 years before is when most of it happened.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about your faith. I know you said y'all were Christians and all that before this, and you lived that life. Tell us where your faith was before this. You know, again, because you had to be, you know, like you said, God prepared you. What were a few things that happened through the years that helped prepare your faith so that you can get to this moment?
Well, I think a lot of it is just raising kids. I mean, a lot of times that just makes you more dependent on God. And, you know, as you get older, I think that becomes more important. And then just struggles in marriage. I mean, we definitely had some struggles early on in our marriage and then, you know, raising teenagers. So I just think it's always been something. I went to church growing up, been in Bible studies, had done all that. So again, I don't think I could have gotten through it if I didn't have that base. And going through what I went through, it was natural for me, and which really helped, because if I was just learning that and going through everything else I was too, I don't know that it would have been so successful. And believe me, I mean, I need lots of grace. So there were a lot of times where I'm like, okay, God, I just, you know, I miss the mark still frequently.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this before we talk about the whole storm, because I think a lot of people, when they go through that, they think I'm the only one. They start having the guilt and shame, and I'm sure you went through this, and you can talk about that as we talk about the story. But I'm sure that a lot of people have the guilt and shame of why didn't they know? How could they not have seen? And for you to say that even to this day, you still look back and don't know how you could have seen, I think that's important to say. And I'm glad you said that, because I think, again, there, a lot of people have been in your shoes, and they have this guilt-ridden self that they go through year after year, that they just feel so guilty. And then they, in their life, and it all leads back to why they didn't know.
Right. And you have to let go of that. You've got to give that to God. Because for me, looking back and trying to figure out what could I have done different? How could I have not seen this? It's really, for me personally, not productive. It's very destructive. Yeah. I will never know why he did, how he did what he did. I mean, so for me to sit there and focus on that really would take away from, you know, raising the kids and moving forward and doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, kind of letting go of that, you know, that let go, let God, it's like not looking back, not trying to get the answers that you will never have.
Yeah.
It's the Chris Stapleton song. I love it because it says in there that, you know, we're not meant to know the reasons why they belong to Jesus in the by and by. And it's so true. It's so true. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can answer this question as you tell your story a little bit, because I'm sure you will. But the next question I will have, and you can lead into your story, would be, did you lose friends and relatives through all this because they thought that you were part of this? Now, before you answer that, tell everybody now that day that it all started.
Okay. So I have some notes here just so I can get all the if I feel like I'm reading, I am a little bit. But on May 16th of 2013, my husband Mark called me and told me he had done something terrible and that he loved me and the kids. He said, there's a folder in the closet and you are to follow the instructions exactly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
My last conversation with my husband of almost 23 years was less than 2 minutes. He hung up when I asked him why our friend's attorney, our friend's who was an attorney's wife, was walking up to the door, and he hung up. And within a couple hours, I would learn that he had taken his life. I was a single mom and a widow. And I can tell you, you know, 7 years later, the hardest moment of my life was not only telling my children that their father had died, but having to answer the question my daughter asked immediately, how, and having to tell them that he took his own life. So, I mean, my life changed in that moment, in an instant. And over the next 2 hours, you wouldn't think it could get much worse than that, but it did. We got the folder down, and in there was a list of our assets and liabilities, all of our life insurance policies totaling $15 million, a folder from a funeral home where he had gone, a copy of his employer's insurance policy against fraud, and a list of 90 creditors that we owed over, a list of 90 creditors that we owed over $21 million that I knew nothing about. And I was standing with two of what would become my 10 attorneys. The list that we owed money to was a kind of a list of who's who in Texas. And by the next morning, the Department of Justice, the SEC, and the DOJ were already calling. So we had an investigation. You know, we had the 25 agents that come through, search your house, take computers and files and all that. So that is The Awful Beautiful Life, my book, and my storm. But as I also say in there, every storm does run out of rain. Another country western song, which are all the chapter titles. But the amazing thing and just blessing is that I did not lose one friend or family member. It was so clear to the FBI that I had no idea that they never even interviewed me. So my friends, they were like, we don't care about the money. We care about you and the kids. Most of the 90 creditors were friends of ours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So as all this was unfolding, I mean, what was going through your head? Well, I mean, because I can only imagine, you know, here it is, you were married 23 years, and you saw everything falling apart.
Yeah, I think it was so surreal, and things were just happening so fast, and I mean, it was every day for probably 6 months, and I mean, the whole process took a year and a half to work through. We actually ended up paying all 90 creditors 100% of their principal money back. I mean, it was a miracle. It was, I mean, another God thing. But that process took a year and a half, which we thought was going to take 3 or 4 because of litigation. So, you know, those first couple of months, really, I mean, I don't even think I had time to think. I mean, you know, grieving, losing my husband, trying to take care of the kids, trying to handle all the legal stuff. I mean, it was just, you know, morning to night. And I would get up in the morning, shower, get ready. I talk in there that every day it was kind of, I needed to get up, I needed to shower. It was part of my routine that kind of helped me. It was like the only normal thing I had. And sometimes I would put my makeup on every day. And sometimes I would cry it off before I even finished getting it on. And then just go, go, go all day long and try to make sure the kids were okay and deal with what we had to deal with. And then soak in a bubble bath every night with my country music on. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just
very healing too.
Yeah.
Was there ever moments at the beginning to where you thought, where is God in all this?
You know what? I never doubted God or whether he was there or not. Every time it's like me finding those pictures, rainbows are really mean a lot to me. And I would have these rainbows at random times. And so I felt like all along the way, he was saying, I am here. I am here. I am here. And I think he knew that I needed that, because I don't think if I had those, I would have felt, I probably would have felt that, where is he? But I feel like he was so clear and evident when I needed something that I think that was his way of getting me through.
Yeah, we definitely understand that, because, you know, when we talk about this all the time, or when we look back on our life, and although we have this show, but financially, we just ain't there right now. We're launching everything on a shoestring budget. So many things we've done. I mean, we probably launched in 18 years of marriage over 100 different business ideas that all crashed. But we've learned from everyone, and each one before they crash at least got us through the moments. You know, so,
right.
But it's like we try this and we try, because I've always been one that before we married, I want to build a legacy together of whoever I married. And I want to be self-employed, stay self-employed. I just didn't realize that it would take this long to figure out God's path here. And that's, you know, just like with our story, you know, like I was telling you the other day, you know, our ultimate plan is to build a marriage ministry and all that because of what we've been through. And so it's like all this is coming together, but there's still so much that hasn't come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the faith, but then there are a few things that happen with our show where we're like, okay, we see you, God. I think that's, you know, so like you were just saying, there were moments to where he would show himself. And I think that's where we are. There are moments where he shows himself and we're like, you know, because I get people message us all the time privately. How are you getting some of these people on your show? Like, I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, there are people that we've had on our show that shouldn't be on our show, but yet there they are. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's been crazy, but I definitely get where you're coming from on that. You know, now as you look back on everything that's happened in your life, where are you now? I mean, where's your life stand since?
Where am I? I still don't know that I know that. I am working and it's been great. My children are all really doing remarkably well. I'm super, super proud of them. From the get-go, we have said, you will not be a victim. We're going to deal with this face on. Trying to deal with suicide and make sure that they don't feel shame from suicide, which,
so that,
you know,
side's got to be tough.
It's really tough. But, you know, I tell my kids, I mean, did I freeze? You froze too.
Technology.
Don't you love technology? There we go.
Working on the suicide and making sure my children don't feel shame has been, you know, something that's been really important to me in moving forward and helping them. So I think they've done a great job. I think that they, you know, don't feel the shame of that because we talk a lot about it. I mean, we said, we all grieve differently. We're going to feel different things at different times. Some of us will feel some things in anger and mad and confusion, and sometimes some won't, and in different orders. But if you don't deal with it, it's going to come back to get you. So I think they've done a great job. And I feel for me, that's been also part of the blessing that God has done in my life, is making sure that my children are really okay. Of course, you know, we've had our stuff, but not that any other children their age have had. So I feel like that's been a blessing. So, you know, we still, where are we? We're all just, I feel like, in a spot where most people are right now, you know? I feel pretty normal after all the publicity and all the stuff that has happened. I feel like we're, you know, plugging along just like everybody else.
So what do you think were one or two lessons you learned in the middle of your storm?
I think, you know, really taking everything to God. And I was in the Psalms all the time because Psalm 34 is one of my favorites, and it's, I'll bless the Lord at all times. I sought the Lord and he answered me. The poor man cried and he heard him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears him and rescues him. And so going there was one thing that I think I learned, just because it's, the Psalms are encouraging and they deal with anything you could possibly ever go through. And they're, I don't want to say simple, but you don't have to be a theologian to understand the Psalms, right? So
that's right.
So I think that's one lesson I learned, just staying, getting up and being in the word. I think having that routine of just getting up every day, whether you felt like it or not, and doing your best to get through the day. I think that was one lesson that was really important. I think that was really important for my kids to see. I think that not being the victim and taking responsibility is healing and helpful. And the other thing is, I have to say, is we really were surrounded by amazing people, our friends. And I, you know, check your friend group because it's really important.
Yeah, that's so important, having people around you, because, you know, when you can watch Facebook and sometimes you see so many people argue back and forth. And I'll be honest, when people comment against what I say on Facebook, I just delete their comment. And if they comment again, I delete them. Because I'm like, you know what? I'm 49 years old, got two kids, we got a family. My biggest thing is I want peace. If you ain't bringing me peace, I don't need you in our life, because again, life is hectic as enough. I don't need people that are trying to dramatize things in our life at the same time.
I'll tell you, I call these my pillars, but someone asked me one day, how did you do it? And I was like, oh, lots of F words. Faith, family, fun, friends, and yes, a few of those real bad F words too. But you know, as you said, how did I get through it and what did I learn? And it is my F words. It is the faith, it is the family, it is the friends, and it is, you've got to throw some fun in there and you have to laugh.
Yeah. You know, and before we end this really here, we always said our 8-year-old asks one question to every guest.
Please do. I will go get him.
And you know, when we have our 19-month-old, she don't know it yet, but she'll be plugged into the show too. You know, because we are a family affair show, and that's why we kind of created the name Family Affair Media. Scoot over.
Hi, Becky. What's your favorite food?
I'm sorry, what? I missed that question.
Hi, Becky. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Yes.
Cotton candy. Does that count?
Got to go light a little bit when, you know, bring him in and make, especially after a rough story here. And what's yours?
Pizza.
So there we go.
He could eat pizza all day long.
Yeah.
Bye, thanks.
So cute.
And like I said, you know, we got a 19-month-old.
Yes,
her name's Caitlin. You know, we're trying to create a brand that includes, because I think sometimes, you know, you got people that work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. I couldn't do that, but so, more power to them. But there's no way for kids to be included. I believe that if you include kids into your work, and again, even though we're self-employed, so we can do this, but even people that's got professional type jobs, there are ways to kind of include their kids into their profession. And now all of a sudden their kids.
Yeah, so that they can learn.
And then all of a sudden now they can say, oh, wow, that's really cool. And now they have a different appreciation of mom and dad.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
So as we finish off here, any final parting words, and tell everybody how they can get your book.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any major bookstore has the book, Awful Beautiful Life. And you can also, as I said, the chapter titles are all country western songs, and you can get the on Spotify. If you look at Becky Powell, you can find the links to all the songs. It's really fun. Yeah. So,
you know, we really enjoyed having you on, and you definitely have a faith-filled story, and the exact story that we want to bring on this show. I mean, that I couldn't ask for a better story for what we're trying to do with this show. Because I think people need to hear some of these stories, because everybody goes through a storm. I always heard from our church that you're either in a storm, you just left the storm, or you're about to go in a storm. That's pretty
right.
You know,
or so, sometimes you're in the eye of the storm where there's a little bit of calm before it sweeps up again.
You know, I even heard one person say, sometimes you're leaving a storm as another storm's happening. So you
just, so, well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for your time, for being here and telling us the story.
We definitely look forward to having you back down the road.
Yes.
Thank you. Blessings to your family.
Hi. You too.
Bye. Bye.